from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2. For those of you like, hey, was that a Windows notification sound? It sure was. Oh, notification on my computer. My computer was still turned up from when we were listening to Matt Ishbia whine about people thinking that the Suns are screwed when they are.
They are.
They very much are. It's hour number 2. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will be with you until 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports Leader. I have a game to get into, and I'm so excited to do so, and we're going to do that right now. This has nothing to do with basketball. This has nothing to do with the Kings or the A's, or the Raiders, or the 49ers. It's Kentucky Derby time, baby. And what we're going to do, James, is we're going to go through the Kentucky Derby horses. All, not every single one of them, but 20 of them. And I'm going to say 2 real horse names and a lie.
Okay.
2 real horse names and a lie is the game.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you 3 names, and you have to pick which one is not an actual Kentucky Derby horse name.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. Number 1, we have Epic Ride. We have Maxident, and we have Fierceness. Which one is not a real Kentucky Derby horse name?
Epic Ride.
Let me get to my buttons here. That's incorrect.
Damn it.
Epic Ride is 50-1. Maxident. Maxident is not the real horse name. That is the name of a Stray Kids album.
Oh.
Number 2. We have Boarding Pass, we have Society Man, and we have Domestic Product.
Domestic Product.
Nah, that's incorrect. Boarding Pass is the fake
horse
name.
That was the easiest of the... That sounded the most real.
Thank you. That means a lot to me that you would say that. Let's fire my music again. Here we go. Society Man going off at 50-1. Domestic Product 30-1. I forgot to mention last time, Fierceness is the odds-on favorite at 5-2.
Oh.
Number 3, we have Fortitude, we have Endlessly, and we have Resilience.
Fortitude.
That's absolutely right. Well done.
Yes!
Well done. Fortitude is the fake name. Endlessly going off at 30-1. Resilience going off at 20-1. Number 4, and again, if you're just joining us, the Kentucky Derby is this weekend, and so we are reading off the horse names. I'm giving James 2 real horse names and a fake horse name, and he has to guess. All right, number 4. T.O. Password. Just Steal. Chartreuse Fountain.
Chartreuse Fountain.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. Chartreuse Fountain is made up. T.O. Password going off at 30-1. Just Steal is at 20-1. All right, number 5. Mystic Dan. Sierra Leone. No Easy.
I'm going Sierra Leone.
No, that's incorrect. No Easy is the fake one. Oh. Mystic Dan going off at 20-1. Sierra Leone, 3-1. One of the favorites in this race. No Easy, also a Stray Kids album title. Grand Mo the First. This is number 6. We have Grand Mo the First. Oops, that's the wrong one. That's fine. There we go. Grand Mo the First. Bump in the Night. West Saratoga.
I'm going to say Grand Mo.
Grand Mo the First is not correct. He's going off at 50-1. Bump in the Night is the fake name.
Oh.
And West Saratoga also at 50-1. Just a couple more.
Okay.
Number 7.
I think I'm 2-4 so far.
We have Cardinal Wolsey, Catching Freedom, or Forever Young. I could name horses, dude.
I think it's a second one.
Catching Freedom?
Yes.
That's incorrect. Cardinal Wolsey is the fake name. Cardinal Wolsey is a character from the television show The Tudors. Catching Freedom, 8-1. Forever Young, 10-1. Number 8, we have Catalytic. We have Doorknock, and we have Sabatka.
Doorknock.
That's incorrect. Doorknock is going off at 20-1. Catalytic, 30-1. Sabatka is the fake one. Sabatka is a family from the show The Wire.
Oh, okay.
Last two. Here we go. See if you can finish strong. Naming two real Kentucky Derby horses and one fake one on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Number 9. Just a Touch. Taking Back Sunday, Stronghold.
Just a Touch is gone.
No, it's incorrect. Just a Touch is going off at 10-1. Stronghold, 20-1. Taking Back Sunday is a band. They are the fake name. Last one. Number 10. We have Happy Hour. We have Track Phantom. And we have Honor Marie.
Track Phantom.
That's incorrect. Track Phantom going off at 20-1. Honor Marie. Going off at 20-1, Happy Hour is the fake horse name. Thank you, everybody, for playing along on two real Kentucky Derby horses and one fake one. Can't wait for the Kentucky Derby. I know nothing about horse racing.
Okay, I don't I won't even watch, most likely. I might make a mint julep. That's
there you go. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, it's very possible.
Mint julep, funny hat, you got the whole deal.
Then I'll make mint juleps on, is it Saturday? Is that when the race is?
Sunday? I closed the...
Yeah?
Kentucky.
Saturday, Sunday?
I think it's Sunday. Isn't it always on Sundays? Saturday. Saturday, May 4th.
Okay. I'm in.
Oh, yeah. I hope so.
I will make a mint julep. I might not watch the race.
Or wear a funny hat.
Well, I might wear a hat, but not a funny hat, I don't think.
Wear your fedora, that plays.
There we go.
I'll wear a flat cap. We'll do a whole thing.
That was a horrible showing. I apologize to all those out there who listened to me.
I'm going
to
spin this the optimistic way. I did a great job naming fake horses.
You did do a great job.
That's what I think that's more the play here.
If only I knew all the names of the Stray Kids albums.
Boy, you would have been, right
been
there.
Like, oh, you're...
I almost did all the fake names of Stray Kids albums. But...
yeah. Well, at least you know I didn't cheat.
No, right. No? Well, that's why I didn't want to say like, hey, we're gonna play a horse game. And then you like went and looked like, oh, let me familiarize myself with the horses.
Yeah.
Just
no.
In case. No. That's why I was fun. Thanks for playing along with me.
All right.
I was listening to a thing on the way in and I heard an advertisement for the Kentucky Derby. And they were like, with such and such and so and so, and I'm like, what?
That's a fake name. That's
no,
what you
were
thinking.
Real names. They were real names. So
I mean, are you at least gonna watch it? I don't know.
I'll probably get dialed.
Yeah.
It depends on how my Saturday's going.
Okay.
I'm busy in the morning, but I should be back in time to tap in.
I think it's supposed to rain this weekend too here, right?
Is it?
Yeah, I think the weather's supposed to change on us again.
I was supposed to go hiking Saturday morning.
Oh. I think one day rain someone said it was like 90% chance, but that may change
Friday.
By now. I don't know. You're going to go hiking in muddy weather?
Apparently.
Same.
It's for a good cause, so.
Okay.
I'm going in. I'm just doing it.
All right.
I don't know, man.
Oh, that's good. We were going to, like, last weekend got bamboozled by that crazy rain that rolled through. Like,
insane. I don't know.
Friday. I don't know what that, at my house, we must have got like 3 inches of rain in like 15 minutes. It was so much rain. It was like pelting. The whole house was making noise. You could, like, it was hitting.
Jesus.
Like, it was wild. And then
it's a lot of rain.
Like the youngest, he was supposed to weedy the whole hill, our back hill, mm-hmm. like the next day. And was like, oh, we got to cancel that. It's too wet. It's
bummer.
Too muddy.
Tough.
Yeah. So we had to do it yesterday. Him and his friends. We got a little team weed eaters.
Oh, good. I'm yeah. really jealous.
Yep.
Ken Rudolph, I wouldn't have, see, that's it. Somebody said Ken Rudolph would have killed that game. I wouldn't have played it with Ken Rudolph.
Oh.
Because Ken yeah. Rudolph knows all the horses, and he would have been able to give you the odds, too, I bet.
Well, that also means that he might have a problem.
No, it's what he does for a living.
He does horse races?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's like his whole deal.
Oh, all right. No, I had no idea that Ken running. Was into heavily into horse racing.
Yeah, man. That's like his, that's his bag.
Oh.
He'll give out winners. He does the whole thing.
All right.
Yeah, dude. Ken's the man. Shout out to Ken Rudolph.
I haven't seen him in a long time.
Me neither.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him since he was with D-Lo.
Good dude. Actually. Good dude.
Yeah, definitely. All right. That does it for our game and for that segment. we have another game to play when we get back. This one's a lot easier, and it's not really a game. It doesn't require any guessing. We're going to play good idea or bad idea, and you can play along. In the chatty house, you can give us a call, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Good idea or bad idea, coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. Yeah!
That's James. I'm Kyle. Hanging out with you until noon. One of D'Lo or KC will be in here in about half an hour for the handoff as we get you ready for D'Lo and KC, which is coming up at noon. They'll be with you until 4 o'clock. So there were a bunch of stories today as we're putting the rundown together.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a bunch of stories that all kind of fit the same theme for me as I was putting them into each block of this show. And I decided to put them all together in one block, so that's what we're going to do now. I didn't have time to come up with a fun or creative name for this game, so it's just going to be called Good Idea or Bad Idea.
Mm-hmm.
You can play along in the chatty house. You can play along at 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. But all you do is I'm going to read a thing and you tell me if it's a good idea or a bad idea.
Okay.
We can talk about it. Number one. The Steelers special teams coordinator, according to Steelers running back Jaylen Warren, is considering using Justin Fields as a kick returner because under the new kick return rules, nobody can move until the receiving player has caught the ball. And then the kicking team and the receiving team's blockers are lined up 5 yards apart and they can't move toward one another until the receiving team catches the ball.
Okay.
And the thought is that you can basically like run running plays out of this now. You can run different blocking schemes where instead of just trying to make a guy miss and hoping that you can catch a seam, you are actively getting behind blockers in a different way than you could on previous kick returns. They look at it and they go, Justin Fields is the backup quarterback. But hey, he is an electric athlete and might be really good on kick returns. Good idea or bad idea?
If I'm Pittsburgh, I think it's a good idea for the franchise. If I'm Justin Fields, I'm giving them a giant middle finger.
This is a terrible idea.
Yeah, because he's in his like fifth year option, right? So he doesn't have a contract after this year.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think that was one of the year.
No, he's in year four.
He's in year four? Mm-hmm. Okay, so yeah, I don't. That's like you're putting your career on the line.
I am out on this idea, dude.
Yeah,
this is insane.
Yeah, I mean, because I keep thinking of Taysom Hill and like, would you do this with Taysom Hill? And like, probably.
Yeah, but.
But he's he's built like a tight end.
Yeah, well, and Justin Fields is enormous. Like, don't. Get it twisted. Justin Fields is a healthy young man. But you don't put your quarterback in that spot. I don't care what the kickoff rules are. And Russell Wilson is not good enough for you to risk your backup quarterback like that. You didn't acquire Justin Fields for him to be Taysom Hill. Like, that's nuts.
Yeah.
He is immensely more talented than that. So I get, like, in theory, if you can turn injuries off Madden style, You're just like, yeah, hey, we want to get the ball in the hands of our super electric playmaker. Great, that's a good idea. Then make him your starting quarterback. If you're that in on him,
possible anyways.
If you're that in on him as a playmaker, then you can get him the ball on every play.
Yeah.
Every single one. You just make him the starter.
Okay.
I think it's a terrible idea. Bad idea.
All right.
Wait, what?
What do we got next?
I Chatty House, grow up. I think it's because I was talking about Justin Fields.
Oh.
And his stature.
Oh, okay.
Number two. 76ers brass is buying 2,000 tickets to tonight's game. They're giving them out around Philadelphia to different, you know, groups and trying to ensure that Philly fans are in the building outweighing the Knicks fans and matching the intensity of the fan base heading into this game six. Good idea or bad idea?
I mean, I think it's a good idea that you're trying to fill up your arena with just your fans. I just feel like there's another way to do this. Like, first of all, why do you have 2,000 seats available?
I think it's secondary market.
I guess they're like buying up seats on the secondary market. And,
maybe.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that it's a good idea for a franchise to get involved in something like that, but I do think that you could like offer to your season ticket holders, hey, we have 2,000 seats that we're reserving. If you have friends and family that are Sixers fans and you want them at a discounted rate, let's go. You know, I could
see
something like that.
That's probably the better financial idea.
Yeah.
I think giving them out around the city is cool, though.
No, I think it's good, too. But I also know that, like, most NBA teams, they don't, like, break even until they get past the first round. So right. I don't know about giving away 2,000 seats.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, in Sacramento, those seats were worth so much money. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's kind of the issue. So I don't know.
This is a great idea. Every team should do it.
You think so?
I don't know why more teams don't do this. Like, does it optically, is that tough? Sure. But so is everybody chanting FMB in your home stadium. And it's sounding like you're at Madison Square Garden.
Ooh, that's tough.
It was really bad. That's a really, really bad look. A way worse look than being like, hey, we don't want that to happen again, so we're going to take it upon ourselves to buy these tickets and distribute them out through the city to make sure we're getting real Sixers fans in this building. I think it's a great idea.
I get that. I
buy
get that
every ticket always.
Yeah, okay. So, yes, on that note, yeah. And I would tell you, too, that like a lot of times players have like groups of tickets that they buy. So, like, DeMarcus Cousins, every game had a certain number of tickets that he had bought to donate.
Right, and those get taken out of their paycheck.
Yeah, straight up. Yes. Like, DeMarcus Cousins had purchased, I don't know if it's 100 or if it's 150 seats, every game that went to, like, Boys and Girls Clubs or to different youth charities around Sacramento. When he got really traded, he continued that.
In Sacramento?
Yes.
That's, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So I don't know, like, how long, like, for years, I don't know, but, like, certainly at the end of that season, I mean, he got traded mid-season, they're like, do you want to keep paying for your tickets? It's like, oh, yeah, I made that commitment, I'm still in.
Yeah.
I mean, DeMarcus did a bunch of stuff like that off the court.
Yeah,
he paid for a funeral of a young football player from Grant that lost his life in a drive-by, and he did a lot of other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, I think Sac High bought all the scoreboard and all that stuff,
yeah.
So good in the community, but, yeah, I'm in. This is like,
it's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly like for Kings Warriors or Kings Lakers, it would be cool if it. I like both crowds being there.
Yeah, you're never going to completely keep other fans out of your building.
No,
but having so many fans in your building that it sounds like you're on the road, and when your star player, the only player that you're one of two players that you're committed to beyond this year, is like, yo, that sucked.
Yeah.
Expressing that level of commitment to be like, hey, we hear you, we're going to do this, especially when Joel Embiid might sit there and go, nah, I want out.
Yeah.
I have not accomplished what I want to accomplish. I'm done. Showing that level of commitment to him is, I think, the move.
Okay.
Good idea. Number three. Dame Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo are pushing to play in game six in Indiana. Season on the line. Unclear how close to 100% either or both players are. Good idea or bad idea?
bad idea. I mean, I get it, and I get you don't want to be the team that gets bounced in the first round twice, that you put all your eggs in these two baskets here, but both of them, one has a calf injury, one has an Achilles strain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both of them could end up popping their Achilles. Like, mm-hmm. we've never seen two guys in one game, like, go down with Achilles tears, but I was in the building when Kevin Durant blew his Achilles in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Was horrific. I was in the building when Rudy Gay popped his Achilles in mm-hmm. Sacramento. It's such a bad injury because you know how long it's going to be. You know it's going to be a year.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't afford Dame or Giannis to be out a year if you're those guys. And so I get it. You want to push your season, but I would much rather give them as much time as possible and a clean bill of health. And even, I'll tell you, like the Warriors had said, like Kevin Durant, he can't hurt himself any further.
Mm-hmm.
And I had someone reach out to me that day and say, that is complete crap. He is very much so risking his
crap.
Yeah, he is risking his career.
Yeah, that was nuts.
And they ran him out there and he blew his Achilles.
That was nuts.
And that was one of those things where you're like, man, come on. Yeah. Like that was so known. So I'm super cautious about that specific injury.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have them out there unless your doctor's they're testing and they're, you know, like every season they go in.
Yeah.
They know their flexibility. They know what kind of like explosion level they have. Mm-hmm. If their numbers are close to what they should be,
mm-hmm.
then okay, as long as you can guarantee it and you're MRIing and doing all that stuff. But if not, man, that's such a risk.
Yeah, I get that for sure. And if you're risking, if their doctors are like, yeah, hey, you can't play because you're risking an Achilles injury, then sure. But if it's pain tolerance, or if it's like, yeah, hey, there's no injury risk to the Achilles here, and you want to push it, then this is the time to do it. But to your point, if you're also going to try and give yourself a chance to win this series and then potentially be out for the next one or for the next year, that's tough.
What would Kawhi Leonard do?
He'd be at home.
What would Joel Embiid do?
I think that Joel would play.
That's right.
I think it's a good idea that they're trying. I think it would be a bad idea for them to be like, no, ignore all. We need to push all in right now.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah. Last one. Nope, not last one. We got to go. We'll do the last one coming up next because it's a little bit of a larger discussion anyways.
Okay.
It's about NBA officiating, if you can imagine. We'll also talk about a couple of the playoff games tonight, and we'll have the handoff with Damian Barling coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
With James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You said postseason right as we were coming back from the break, and then we had a little Post Malone on the rejoin. Look at that. That's James Hamm over there. I'm Kyle Madsen right here. Somebody in the chat asked if they're going to be called the Sacramento A's while we're here. Not officially. Unofficially, yes. That's what we're calling. Officially, no. They're not going to be. They're just the A's. Also, apparently, they didn't file a trademark for the Las Vegas A's, so the Last Dive Bar guys went in and trademarked that, so that's going to be a whole thing.
It's great.
My last good idea or bad idea, this is a game we played last segment. Not really a game, just a thing we were doing last segment. And where are you? So number four on good idea or bad idea, and then we'll talk about the NBA playoffs for tonight. Where do you land on the last two-minute report?
I hate it.
It's dumb, right?
I hate it. I, like, my old boss at NBC wanted me to write every time there was an error on the last two-minute report.
Of course. It gets tons
Do you know
of
how many errors there were on the it was like every
so many.
Single game.
So many.
And that season that I was doing that, like, it felt like every game, it was the season where Dave Yeager, like, surprised everybody and, like, the team's winning. And but all of the games were super close.
Mm-hmm.
Every game there's last 2 minute report and you're like, I'm so over and done with it. It doesn't matter. That's the problem.
That's dude. And that's it. So if you missed it, a last 2 minute report from that Knicks Sixers game came out and they said that Tyrese Maxey traveled on his 4-point play.
Yeah. They don't call travel in the NBA. Why would they call on the 2 minute report?
That's exactly it. Did they miss that call? Like, yeah, probably. In fact, on the replay, I was like, oh, I think he traveled. But also that happens all the time.
Oh yeah.
With no call. So what's the goal here?
And there's no recourse, Kyle. There's no recourse.
Right. Like, that's if the goal is transparency, then do all 48. Give me the 48-minute report.
Yeah.
Let me see what that looks like. Because sometimes there are calls in the first half that swing games. So let's look at the full 48-minute report.
That or grade them. Grade each game. Like the pitch, like the pitch count guy. Like, we know who the worst and the best Major League Baseball umpires are.
Oh yeah.
Like, whether, because we can actually visually
see the umpire scorecards.
Umpire score. So go ahead and give us the referee scorecards.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, not just as a group, as three people.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you give us individuals? Because that's a deal, a possibility, too. Like, we had, I remember Tom Haberstroh wrote the piece mm-hmm. earlier this season where, like, the official that had thrown out a couple of players, all of a sudden he started throwing people out of nowhere. And he had done one playoff series in 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
17 years as an official, and you didn't get a single playoff series? You had one playoff series?
Says a lot about that guy as an official.
Well, it tells you what the league thinks of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, what are we doing here? Why would, you know, we're not looking for people who are marginal at their jobs. This is, it's a tough job. I get it. But mm-hmm. at the same time, call it fair. Call it straight up. And if you don't call travel all game long, why should we worry about a travel in the final 2 minutes?
That's 100%. And dude, that is an all-time NBA moment.
Yeah.
That's going to go down. If the Knicks make a run this year, or I'm sorry, not the Knicks. If the Sixers make a run this year,
yep.
If they somehow claw back against the Knicks and they go, that's a moment. That's going to be like, what? Tyrese Maxey, 7 points in 18 seconds at the Garden. Holy crap.
And you just try to put an asterisk on it.
Right. Can you imagine if they had called a travel after he cashed that on a 4-point play?
No.
That moment never happens. And I'm also there are people who are like, eliminate refs, and I'm not there. But like you said, what's the point of the last 2-minute report on that? What are they trying to accomplish?
There's
not one. Right, there's not one. So my thing here is abolish the last 2-minute report.
Mm-hmm.
Launch it into the sun. I don't need the NBA to go, oops. Ah, well, I don't need that. So give me the full 48-minute report
mm-hmm.
where we can look at every single game. And when it's Scott Foster or pick your least favorite ref, you can go, hey, actually, you know what? Don't like this guy's face, but you know what? He's got an A-minus grade this year. Been doing a really nice job.
Yeah.
At least then you know. If you're going to be transparent, be transparent.
I would agree. And like I want to see Tony Brothers, like his scorecard.
Hey,
for 48 games.
If that's the other aspect of this, in an era where gambling is going to be this prevalent,
yeah,
I would love to know.
Yep,
I would, because hey, if you have this guy who calls a ton of fouls, and his games, and you know what, stars are always in foul trouble in this guy's games, and hey, those games always hit the under. 85% of this guy's games hits the under. You can flag that.
Yeah.
And you look at it with actual, and I know the league probably already does that internally, but if you're going to be transparent all the way. That's all. And the last 2-minute report is useless.
What do we have? There was 3 out of 4 or 3 out of 5 games in the last 2 weeks of the season where they came back and there were errors made in the Kings game that they lost by nothing.
Right.
The Colby Jones slapped in the face when you lose by one and you can't get a shot off at the last play.
Right. And the response is, whoops.
Yeah, my bad.
We did that.
But it was all of them. There was a mistake in every single one of those games. The blatant SGA travel
mm-hmm.
and then push off mm-hmm. of Davion Mitchell. You're like, what are we doing? He took 7 steps. We're not talking about like he may or may not have slid his pivot foot.
Right.
We're talking about the dude took 7 steps. He was just wandering around out there after he picked up the ball and nobody thought to, hey, hang on a sec. Let me pull you aside, kid. And when you're playing basketball, you only get to take 2 steps.
You have to dribble.
Yeah, let me explain what the pivot foot with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I see it all the time, though.
Yeah.
And look where it ended up being, how much that cost the Kings. Mm-hmm. If they win that game against
Oklahoma City?
Suns? No. When he got slapped in the face.
Oh, Boston.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when he got slapped, when Colby Jones, if they win that game, what does their record look like now? Mm-hmm. Like, would they have moved up? Would they have tied?
Sure.
Like, there's all of these little tiny things that happen near the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, forget all of the bad losses. There were these other little games, these other little things that happened that could have totally changed the trajectory of the
game. And this is my problem. This is why, bad idea, by the way, on 2-minute report. Because this is my problem with it. We know already. We can all see. We all see a travel. We all see a slap in the face.
Yeah.
We got it. We know the call got missed. The NBA going, whoops, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the value is.
If it's like, hey, for every missed call in the last 2 minutes that hurts your team, 0.1% in the lottery.
Mm.
Or something. Then you'd go, oh, okay, great, thanks.
Or have a system where if your officials... And they're graded. Each of them are graded. And like if they fall below a certain level, they can be relegated. They can you've got the G League, like pull someone else up to take their spot. Like have a system where you can see guys are in the red mm-hmm. or they're a 73% accuracy rate. That's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not. So I think that there should be a way for them. And this is I'm the guy who is on the pool report.
Mm-hmm.
So and I've never been called to do the pool report. No other reporters ever said, hey, I want that flagged. Yeah, can you do the pool report? So, but if there was a way for that to happen, that doesn't even help. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I supposed to do? I walk into a room, I got them on a video call, and I can only ask like two questions. I have to ask a question, and I can ask a follow-up, and I can't ask anything sideways.
And they're going to go, oh yeah, no, there was marginal contact, or we didn't judge that it constituted enough for a flagrant, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're just going to say what you think they're going to say, and then when you follow up, they're going to give you a BS answer, and then you're going to move on.
Yeah, and then, like, I can't say, okay, well, what about the play before where Fox was clearly fouled and you didn't call it, even though it wasn't marginal contact, it mm-hmm. was full-fledged contact, but then you go back on the other end? Or what about the play where you made up a rule and called Trey Lyles for still moving his upper body?
It was like,
what are we doing here? Like, that doesn't make any sense. You can't call a game incorrectly, like, in the moment, and then have a review and have the review come back incorrectly.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's not a rule. You can't call it that way. And if you're going to do that, then the next game when the same exact thing happens to the Kings, you probably got to call it then too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
Do away with the 2-minute report. I don't need it. Give me 48 or zero.
Yeah.
Anyways. That's all. The NBA playoffs continue tonight. The Milwaukee Bucks at the Indiana Pacers. The Milwaukee Bucks, who we deaded. We said they're done. I'm committing to the bit.
You're committed
Pacers,
to.
Pacers win tonight.
I'm going Bucks.
I don't care if Dame plays. I don't care if Giannis plays. The Pacers are winning.
Okay.
I feel good about it.
They don't look 100% like gelled as a team.
The Pacers look like a dog chasing cars.
Yeah, okay.
And then they caught one, and now they're like, oh, I don't know.
We got one.
I don't know what to...
I popped the tire. Now what do I do?
I don't... like, that's seriously... Like, they've gotten to this point where, hey, they're up 3-1, and they go into that game, and they're like, 3-1. They don't have Dame or Giannis. What do we do now? And they get smoked by Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference between, hey, here's the chance to... And this is where I think the Kings were at last year against Golden State. And that's where the whole like playoff experience thing comes in. Or one of the ways it manifests itself is you watched, you know, the Celtics last night. The Celtics went in against Miami and said, no. The series is over. Not over from the standpoint of we can cruise and figure out a way to win one of these next three. This is over tonight.
Mm-hmm.
This is done.
Goodbye.
We're the better team. We're dispatching you from the playoffs.
Yes.
Goodbye now. The Pacers had their chance to do that. Go, hey, we're the right now, as these teams are currently constituted, the better team. And we're going to go put this series away. And instead, they didn't. They got smoked in a game they had no business being smoked in. And they don't have, like, Pascal Siakam's been there, but like Tyrese Halliburton, as much as I like Tyrese Halliburton as a player, does not look like, oh yeah, I've been here. I know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Nemhard and Andrew Nemhard and Aaron Nesmith and Miles Turner, all these guys that we've talked about with them.
Yeah.
Really good players, but they just,
That's why experience matters.
Yes.
And we keep talking about this, and I think people are like, oh, you're way overvaluing experience. No, it totally matters.
It matters in these, it's not like, look.
So much better than the other, which is what we saw Minnesota and OKC, if they're so much better, mm-hmm. then maybe it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case in this situation.
Sure. And with Minnesota specifically, this group has been there together.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns have not. They just need continuity. Just ask Matt Ishbia.
Yeah.
Continuity is all that matters. They're just going to fire the head coach, though.
Yeah. Continuity matters.
No, but you're right. If one team is just way better, that's one thing. But it's also not like... The Warriors and Kings last year were the ultimate, like, hey, this team's won four titles. This team hasn't been there in 16 years. Or this team's won four titles recently. This team hasn't been there in 16 years. It wasn't like the Warriors were dramatically the better team. But in these little instances, these little spots, it's like, hey, execution matters there. And like that was kind of that wound up being the difference in a couple of games. And I think if Milwaukee's going to come back in this series, that's what it's going to come down to. Is, hey, Milwaukee knows how to battle back in a series. They know how to buckle down and win a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And Indiana just has no idea what to do.
Indiana's looking at this that they have three games to win one.
Mm-hmm.
And
now two games.
Well, now two. But the Bucks are looking at it as in, we have to win tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really a different mindset.
Yes.
And a young team can get lost in the fact, like, we're okay, we're okay. Mm-hmm. It's only one more game.
Yeah.
And the other team is saying, we're a 100% laser focused on what's happening right now.
We're going to win tonight.
Yeah. If we don't, we're done.
Yeah.
So it's tough, man. I like watching young teams like skip steps and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people should also look at the last half of the season. Like Tyrese Halliburton did not have a good.
Yeah, but those first 33 games, though.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be all NBA.
He really struggled post injury.
Yeah. He really struggled, and he struggled once they got Siakam. Like, mm-hmm. really, he didn't have a great finish to the year at all.
Yeah. So. It's time for the handoff. Damian Barling in the building. We're talking about this Bucks-Pacers series. I'm out of the Bucks. I declared them done the other night, and then they blew out Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, and this is what we were just talking about when you walked in, it feels like Indiana, this is where that playoff experience thing matters. And this is where it manifests. Because you have Boston, who's been there a million times.
Yeah.
And they looked at Miami and went, this is over. The series is over now.
Yeah.
We're ending it tonight. We're going to go up by 30 in the first half. Whereas Indiana, like James just said, goes, hey, we're up 3-1. We got three games to play with. Like, this is fine. We're good.
Yeah.
That's kind of how game five felt to me.
I'm fine with that line of thinking, but I also don't think Indiana's that good.
Sure.
Like, they're not. I'm not suggesting they're a bad basketball team or they mm-hmm. don't deserve to be here or anything along those lines. I'm saying they're not Boston. Boston,
sure, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Boston has won, like, and I thought the way Boston played yesterday, it's the playoffs, it doesn't matter. Like, you either win or lose, that's all mm-hmm. that matters. But for Boston, where anything short of the Larry O'Brien trophy is a failure.
Yeah.
The season will be constituted as a failure.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have moments of, you know, no matter how heat culture the team is, no matter how scrappy they are, no matter how great the coach is, when you have the ability to put a team away before they even, you know, can blink,
mm-hmm.
I think that's important. I don't think, and you could call it experience if you want to, I don't think the Pacers have that skill set. The Pacers are like we talked about this the other day, the Pacers are feast or famine. Like, they could hit shots and play offensively at a way that this version of the Milwaukee Bucks just can't keep up with. And truth be told, if Giannis and Dame are back, they're going to be far, far from 100%. They still might not be able to keep up if things are going well for the Pacers. But if they're not,
mm-hmm.
it's anyone's game if things aren't going well. The flip side of that is if things are going bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they're not playing at that 133, you know, point per game clip, they can get by and win games. But if they're just in a rut like they were the other night, then it goes the other way.
They have second pitch.
I just don't think they have the skill set to execute the way that you're talking about right there. I'm not sold that that series is over, and I'm not sold that Philadelphia and New York is over.
Hmm. Yeah, you can't logically be. I'm going to be for the sake of the bit.
Oh, like, I mean, that's all that really matters.
The Pacers are winning tonight.
Okay.
In my to what you're saying though is I would 100% agree if they had happened to be up 3-1 with Giannis and Dame in the lineup, and then all of a sudden those guys started rolling in game five and you're like, look out. That'd be one thing. But dude, this version of the Bucks was not good.
Mm-mm.
That was not a good team that they played. They let Patrick Beverley cook and they let Bobby Portis go off, which is Bobby Portis a good player, but Bobby Portis and freaking
Pat Bev
being your top two guys in a game, Indiana should be winning that game.
But that's the story. But see, that's the story of Indiana this year. We weren't focused on it because we've got our own house to clean up here in Sacramento. They're a bad defensive team.
Of course.
They're a terrible defensive basketball team, and that lends the ability. How many times have we talked about random guy A and random guy B going off against Sacramento?
82.
Just damn near close. But that's what happens with the Pacers. And Pat Bev isn't a random, but he's not Dame Lillard.
Sure.
Right? Those guys don't score 20 to 30 on a night-to-night basis.
Mm-hmm.
But they were in a position because of the makeup of the lineup. They had to, right? They had to do that for them to have a chance to win.
Sure.
And the Pacers, being made up the way that they are, really couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So if those guys can get going and feel comfortable, it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
It is. The question is if can Indiana curtail that with their offensive firepower, or are they in one of their moods where it just doesn't happen and they can't get shots to fall? Because that's how Milwaukee wins the series. It feels like this series, with the makeup that it has, with the players that the Bucks have, is going to be determined solely on what Indiana does.
I'll say
not
this
a
too.
Knock on the Bucks. It's just this Bucks team is just so depleted.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to go, hey, man, Milwaukee really took that from them. It's like, Jesus, Indiana really blew this.
Yeah. Well, no, it's very much like what we thought the Kings were all through last season. Like, they're just this offensive juggernaut that didn't play any defense at all. But then you get to the playoffs, and there was actual substance to their defense.
Yeah.
Indiana hasn't, they're not there yet. Don't know how to get to that point yet. And so when there is no substance. That's why they could win this series, but you're winning a series against, like, a wounded animal.
Yeah, and I want to be fair to Indiana. Like, they went through a massive change.
Oh, yeah. Mid-season.
Like, the structure of their team, in my opinion, for years to come, changed in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, whatever you accomplish moving forward, that's the cherry on top. Like, if they can get through the Bucks, regardless of what version of the Bucks are, that helps build to what you were talking about to start this conversation, Kyle, the experience. Mm-hmm. If they lose, if they drop the next two, it still builds toward that experience, and the Indiana Pacers, in my opinion, are going to be in a far better place next year than they are right now.
I would agree. I would agree with that. That's why we didn't cancel them earlier. We canceled a bunch of teams for next year.
Okay.
Just don't even try. You're not going to win a title.
Interesting. Very good.
Yeah. Suns were in there.
I'm okay with
that. Suns are cooked.
Yeah.
Clippers also in there.
I love the 180 everyone had on the Suns. Not meaning everyone in this room, but it's like we talked that this isn't going to work.
Yeah. No depth.
It does this model does not work unless LeBron James in his late 20s is on the team. Like,
right.
Does not work.
Right.
And I mean, these guys got to learn their own lessons.
Everybody's still chasing it.
You know, Matt Ishbia sitting at that podium being defiant, man, salute. Good for him. But if you think this is Frank Vogel's problem, man, you are sorely, sorely mistaken.
I didn't have the Suns as like a title team to start. There were so many people like, yeah, hey, the Suns are going to go to the finals. I went, they're going to win a lot of regular season games, but they're going to have a tough time winning in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it turns out they had a tough time winning all
period.
Of the games.
Yeah,
like, everyone talked about their depth. I'm like, oh, what are we talking about? Like, no.
They got rid of all their NBA players when they traded Brad.
Yeah.
For Brad.
But they...
Or Beal. I don't know the guy. I don't know why I called him Brad. That was weird.
No, that's fine. That's what I call him. They retooled a little bit at the trade deadline. They were able to get a couple of... They went from the supporting cast, so to speak, to being like, who?
Yeah.
To like, okay, these guys are NBA players. But expecting that, again, the idea that it's going to work right out the gate, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's not.
Do you agree with Matt Ishbia that they just need continuity?
Mm. To a degree, absolutely. Yes, I do.
Mm.
Yep, to a degree, I do.
Interesting. I don't agree.
I just remember everyone loving the Drew Eubanks pickup and the Yuta Watanabe and Josh Okogie. Like, everyone just loving all these. And like,
I don't have a problem with any of those guys. I like Josh Okogie a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with any of those guys. I think what Matt Ishbia is dealing with, these were completely unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. And you judge them on being a title contender because of how much those three guys made, which is stupid.
Mm. Very good. That's Damian Barling, D'Lo, and KC. Coming up next, right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. We will see you tomorrow at 10 a.m.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do.
Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at CDC.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.